welcome back inside the cave on this Thursday morning. Pat Hayes, Jeff Bowman with you this morning. And waiting for John to give us a call here, unless he's tied up this morning. But we're here to talk about Michigan football and their bowl game coming up, semifinal game in the bowl championship series. And taking on TCU, and this should be an interesting ball game. We've heard a lot about TCU, that they like to run the football, but again, that Michigan defense is pretty tough to run against.
Yes, and they're going to have also, you know, besides just running the ball with their backs, you know, Duggan runs so well as a quarterback, and I think that's going to be the big key, is making sure you're stopping him and not allowing him to really beat you with his legs either.
And, of course, that Michigan offense, they're going to try to run the ball also, and they've been pretty darn good at it this year, as they have run through the entire season, and no one has come close to stopping the running game. I guess maybe early on in the season, they had a little slow start against Maryland. But besides that, Michigan has, and Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards, have really racked up the yardage this year and really made it look kind of easy for Michigan, especially in the second half.
Right.
Usually getting slow starts and close game at halftime. Third and fourth quarters are just lights out as far as Michigan's concerned.
Yeah, it the way they've done their second half, you know, adjustments and what they've been able to do has been unbelievable.
And I think we have John with us right now on the phone. Good morning, John.
Hey, Pat.
Hey, welcome to Inside the Cave. We're talking Michigan football here, as we're talking about the game coming up in a couple of weeks here with TCU. And talking about the Michigan running attack and also the TCU running attack. Going to try to run against Michigan, but it's going to be a defensive struggle, I think, for them with that Michigan defense.
Yeah, I think that Michigan should be in better shape than it was defensively, even in the Big Ten championship game. If they get some of the people healed up a little bit that were either out or down in that game. And, you know, you talk about Michigan's rushing attack. You got to hope that Donovan Edwards, or expect really that Donovan Edwards is going to be in much better shape to be able to go with a downsized hand protection in that one. I think that, you know, Michigan is certainly, both teams benefit as far as getting some people back or healed up. But for Michigan in particular, with the way things went down the stretch and some of the guys that they had nicked up, I'm going to give a little advantage there to the Wolverines.
Of course, Michigan will not have Blake Corum in the backfield. He is out for the season. But we have some pretty capable running backs in the stable that that can do the job for Michigan.
Well, Edwards just, I mean, you look at those last two games for him, and what a coming out party there to announce to the world that he, in fact, can hit the home run and do a whole lot of things for this team. He's going to be certainly the lead back next year, unless Blake Corum decides that he's going to go for another year. Yeah, he's just so solid, Edwards is. And, you know, I think he's learning to read his linemen better, to pick his holes better. But, boy, once he gets in the clear, there's no catching him. I remember I heard a comparison, Donovan Edwards to a Tyrone Wheatley back when he was being recruited, and I thought, wow, that's really kind of out there, because Tyrone Wheatley has always been one of those guys over the last 30 years that stood out to me as a game breaker. But certainly Donovan Edwards is laying down the kind of credentials that that will get you into that conversation.
Absolutely. And any inkling on Blake Corum? Any talk about whether he might come back or go to the NFL draft?
I think everybody expected him to go to the NFL certainly before he got hurt. And, you know, he was on his way to a potential Heisman season. He's always he's made no, you know, never hidden the fact that he's wanted to make the NFL. That was his goal since he was a little kid. And the question probably in his mind at this point becomes, okay, does he need to come back and have another big season to prove that he's okay on that knee, or can he heal up enough in time to work out and show NFL teams that he is a marketable, draftable guy that's going to be able to give a team something that that they really need? That's a dicey position in the NFL anyway. Running back, that's where the not for long NFL part of it comes in. And so, you know, the NFL teams aren't looking for damaged goods, and Blake Corum, in that respect, will need to be able to show somebody, hey, I'm good to go.
Something coming up this Saturday that, you rarely see at the University of Michigan, an open practice for the public. I think it's a 3:15 start. You can see the last 45 minutes of practice. Wow, this is something very different for University of Michigan.
No doubt about it. Bo might be rolling his eyes right now. and Lloyd Carr along with him. Oh, Lloyd let us into practice a few times. But, yeah, that's a special thing, and I think, it's a different era, and we're doing different, using different methods to get folks interested, and that would be great for people to be able to look in and see a little bit. Certainly, I know Jim Harbaugh well enough to know he's not going to be getting away the store and letting you into the huddle as to how they plan to attack TCU. But folks will get to see the Wolverines running around out there in the winged helmets, and that will pick everybody up around Christmas time.
Absolutely. But I guess it's only room for a couple hundred people, so if you want to see it, you're going to have to get there early.
There you go. That's something to bear in mind before you pack up and head for Ann Arbor.
All right. As far as the playoff game goes, Michigan favored in this game. And I guess my question, John, if Michigan does win, who would you rather see in the championship game, Ohio State or Georgia?
Well, Pat, I've thought a lot about this, and there's a part of me down deep that would certainly not mind seeing Michigan have a 2-0 year against Ohio State and wrap up a national championship in that game. At the same time, the bigger part of me says, no, Ohio State really does not deserve to be in that game. I'm not sure they deserve to be in the playoffs. They're, you lose your last game on your home field by 3 touchdowns, and yet you are you make the playoffs and have a chance at a second chance. I think my preference would be to see Michigan and Georgia square off again and really get a good gauge of how far Michigan has come in its growth. I mean, it bowed after that Georgia game a year ago. Guys like J.J. McCarthy stayed out on the field and watched Georgia celebrate. And they decided then and there, okay, now we got to take the next steps towards getting towards this goal. So I'd like to see that one. I really would, just to get a good gauge of where Michigan has come and maybe see them get over the top.
I totally agree with you, John. And I think that, you know, if Michigan were to play Georgia and win that game, that would really validate Michigan as a top-tier, number one team in the country.
No question about it. And have a great argument for perhaps the best team in Michigan football history. If you go 15-0 and have to beat top teams like they have down the stretch.
No, I'm with you. This is Jeff on the Ohio State and the Georgia. I'm not sure Ohio State belongs there as well, but I do like the fact that, you know, this is a team that I would love to be able to take on that Georgia team again and say, all right, you know, we weren't ready for this last year. It was new to us, and we came in ill-prepared as far as what the hype was and what was going to happen, and I think they're a lot better this year as far as being ready to play that game than what they were last year, and I think that would be a nice challenge, and again, against a very, very good Georgia team that, you know, has been up there at top all year long, so that would be, you know, a nice feather in the cap. They could go in there and get that win. Plus, my whole family down in Georgia is all Bulldogs. So it'd be very nice on the
There's always the personal angle. The mere fact that Georgia is so good and so loaded with NFL talent, and it's the Big Ten SEC thing all over again. And, you know, I just think that they're a little more vulnerable than they were last year. I really believe that. You look at that when they went to Missouri and were in deep trouble before pulling that out. I think that Michigan can be closer in this one. It will have to play a tremendous game if it gets to that. But, again, remember, the Wolverines have to get past TCU to even make that happen.
That's for sure.
Before we let you go, John, here a couple of questions here on Michigan basketball, particularly women's basketball. The women had their first defeat of the season at the hands of Toledo, 71-68. Their only loss, they are 9-1 on the season. Toledo that good, do you think?
Toledo's pretty good. Even if you take the idea that, okay, Michigan has been on a roll and might have had just that little off or down night, to be able to pull that off, you're pretty darn good. But I don't think in the big picture that means a whole lot to Michigan other than to maybe as a reminder that you got to show up and play really hard every single game. But what a run that Michigan's been on early in the season, and I think it bodes very well for Kim Barnes and Rico and this crew to just keep on going on an upward path, which they have been for several years now.
And looking at the men, they get back into action this Saturday against Lipscomb. That'll be a 4:00 tip. Michigan, as we said before, a nice victory over Minnesota to start Big Ten play, 1-0 in conference play. But a few non-conference games here coming up, and any changes as far as Michigan basketball is concerned?
Well, I think the biggest change, obviously, has been at the point guard, where you lose your starting point guard and have a freshman step up and play the way he did in that Minnesota game. What a boost for Michigan, and what a boost for that young man that you go on a road to a place that's tough to play, even though I don't think Minnesota is as good as they have been in some years. But to be able to pull that off and to be able to do it in the fashion that they did is a real confidence boost for all those guys.
Yeah, I was, you know, watching the start of that game, you know, McDaniel throws a bad pass, like first possession, and goes down and makes a steal, and that's his only turnover of the night. And I would have never thought the way he's been kind of a little erratic when his time on the floor with his minutes this year. And the way he played that game and kind of settled himself in was totally different than what he's kind of done all season long. It was really a breath of fresh air to watch him play. And I thought, okay, this is exactly why they brought him in here, was so he could play just like he did against Minnesota.
Yeah, and that's that could be the difference between you're that guy that they're going to throw in there for, you might get 3 or 4 minutes given the starter a breather, and you've got to try and frantically make something happen, as opposed to, okay, you're our guy now, and you are the one that we're going to depend on. You just play your game, Doug McDaniel, and you do the things that you're capable of doing. And if he can stay as calm and as poised as he did in that one. I think, you know, there'll be ups and downs for all of these guys. It's a learning team. You're replacing four starters. But I really think that he can be a focal point of the growth of this team as he goes and just gets better and better.
Well, looking at the top 25 in basketball, Purdue on top from the Big Ten. Is that a surprise to you?
Not really. I'll tell you what, those guys, they seem to bring in the some of the biggest people on the planet to play for the Boilermakers, and they have been pretty darn good for a while now. So it's, you know, we'll see as this thing goes on. Nobody gets away with the completely healthy seasons, and there are ups and downs there, and it's a long year. But I think whoever gets the most does the most improvement between now and late February are going to be those focal point teams. Certainly, Purdue is one of the ones that just absolutely stand out now. But as this thing develops, you know, they're going to lose some games in the Big Ten. I have no doubt about that.
Well, it's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be interesting to watch all season long. John, we are out of time here on Inside the Cave, but we certainly want to remind folks how they can get the Wolverine magazine, either the physical copy or online.
You bet, Pat. Those who want to get the monthly subscription to the hard copy Wolverine, you can call 800-421-7751. That's packed with all kinds of analysis and features, and we've got special things on the Ohio State game, the Big Ten Championship, and Ronnie Bell holding up that championship football on the cover. And coming out and next week, as a matter of fact. And make sure you join us every day on the On3.com network. Look up the Wolverine, and you can find out what's being churned out every single day in terms of podcasts and all kind of things.
And on Mondays, you do a podcast with our friend Tom Crawford, and that's always interesting.
We do that actually on Tuesdays. Tuesday evening, yes, sir. And if you tune in this next Tuesday, I won't name him yet, but one of the all-time greatest Michigan Wolverines will be on with us. So make sure you check that out. And maybe one of the heroes of the last time Michigan was out in the Fiesta Bowl.
Oh, I can't wait. All right, John, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
John Borton from the Wolverine Magazine, our guest here on Inside the Cave. Don't go away. We'll be back with our final segment this morning. You are Inside the Cave.